some.
If they had known that you wished it, the entertainment would have been put off, said the prince,
who, like a wound-up clock, by force of habit, said things he did not even wish to be believed. Don't tease. Well, and what has been decided about Novosiltsev's dispatch? You know everything.
What can one say about it?
Replied the prince in a cold, listless tone.
What has been decided? They have decided that Bonaparte has burnt his boats, and I believe that we are ready to burn ours.
Prince Vasily always spoke languidly, like an actor repeating a stale part. Anna Pavlovna Scherer, on the contrary, despite her 40 years, overflowed with animation and impulsiveness. To be an enthusiast had become her social vocation, and sometimes, even when she did not feel like it, she became enthusiastic in order not to disappoint the expectations of those who knew her. The subdued smile, which, though it did not suit her faded features, always played round her lips, expressed, as in a spoilt child, a continual consciousness of her charming defect, which she neither wished, nor could, nor considered it necessary to correct. In the midst of a conversation on political matters, Anna Pavlovna burst out.
Oh, don't speak to me of Austria. Perhaps I don't understand things, but Austria never has wished and does not wish for war. She is betraying us. Russia alone must save Europe. Our gracious sovereign recognizes his high vocation and will be true to it. That is the one thing I have faith in. Our good and wonderful sovereign has to perform the noblest role on earth, and he is so virtuous and noble that God will not forsake him. He will fulfill his vocation and crush the hydra of revolution, which has become more terrible than ever in the person of this murderer and villain. We alone must avenge the blood of the just one. Whom, I ask you, can we rely on? England, with her commercial spirit, will not and cannot understand the Emperor Alexander's loftiness of soul. She has refused to evacuate Malta. She wanted to find, and still seeks, some secret motive in our actions. What answer did Novosiltsev get? None. The English have not understood, and cannot understand, the self-abnegation of our Emperor, who wants nothing for himself, but only desires the good of mankind. And what have they promised? Nothing. And what little they have promised, they will not perform. Prussia has always declared that Bonaparte is invincible and that all Europe is powerless before him. And I don't believe a word that Hardenberg says, or Haugwitz either. This famous Prussian neutrality is just a trap. I have faith only in God and the lofty destiny of our adored monarch. He will save Europe.
She suddenly paused, smiling at her own impetuosity.
I think, said the prince with a smile, that if you had been sent instead of our dear Wintzingerode, you would have captured the King of Prussia's consent by assault. You are so eloquent. Will you give me a cup of tea?
In a moment. Apropos, she added, becoming calm again. I am expecting two very interesting men tonight. Le Vicomte de Montmartre, who is connected with the Montmorencys through the Rohans, one of the best French families. He is one of the genuine émigrés, the good ones. And also the Abbé Morio. Do you know that profound thinker? He has been received by the Emperor. Had you heard?
I shall be delighted to meet them, said the prince. But tell me, he added with studied carelessness, as if it had only just occurred to him, though the question he was about to ask was the chief motive of his visit. Is it true that the Dowager Empress wants Baron Funke to be appointed first secretary at Vienna? The Baron, by all accounts, is a poor creature.
Prince Vasily wished to obtain this post for his son, but others were trying through the Dowager Empress Maria Fyodorovna to secure it for the Baron. Anna Pavlovna almost closed her eyes to indicate that neither she nor anyone else had a right to criticize what the Empress desired or was pleased with. Baron Funke has been recommended to the Dowager Empress by her sister, was all she said, in a dry and mournful tone. As she named the Empress, Anna Pavlovna's face suddenly assumed an expression of profound and sincere devotion and respect, mingled with sadness. And this occurred every time she mentioned her illustrious patroness. She added that Her Majesty had deigned to show Baron Funke beaucoup d'estime, and again her face clouded over with sadness. The prince was silent and looked indifferent. But with the womanly and courtier-like